Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio momentarily. Kevin Herr sitting in as well. We'll talk sports with the Pirates and the Steelers, and you'll have an opportunity to voice your opinion, as always, toll-free on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar, 1-800-795-9565. That number again, 1-800-795-9565. You can email. We have an email to go over here a little bit later on. You can email stevejones@wkok.com. You can do that 24/7. So if you happen to listen to the podcast online at stevejonesshow.com, and you have a question that we didn't answer, you can send it via email. And, of course, you can follow Steve on Twitter at SteveJonesPSU at SteveJonesPSU. That's the Twitter feed. And we're on Facebook as well to make it easier to find us. Steve Jones Show is what you'll punch in the search engine. So if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, whatever, you'll get an opportunity to do that, not only on the toll-free lines, but also via email, Facebook, and other sources available to you via the World Wide Web. Phillies get a win last night over the Pittsburgh Pirates, doing kind of what we talked about the last couple of days. The Phillies finally scoring some runs, but the Pirates not really scoring runs, and their pitching this time was not able to keep the game close enough. The Phillies now sit in second to last place, surprisingly enough. Still 8 games back, though. 35-40. Miami losing last night to St. Louis. They are now 34-39 on the season. Just one game difference between the two teams, but both teams officially 8 games back of Washington, who still holds a fairly comfortable lead right now in the East, at least at this point of the season.
What about the wild card, though? What about the wild card?
Well, the wild card's
crazy. The wild card counts, because look who won last year.
The wild card's crazy right now. You got San Francisco, Pittsburgh, St. Louis. Atlanta and the Mets are about a game and a half back of those three teams in the wild card. So the National League wild card could be rather entertaining.
Could be. Let's see. A couple of quick things. Did you hear about the couple in South Florida at their wedding?
I don't think I heard this one.
Groom, husband-to-be, is about to see her in her wedding dress before they go down the aisle.
Which is supposed to be a bad thing, if I remember correctly.
Well, no, I mean...
As she's literally before she's walking down the aisle. Okay, yeah, all right. I was thinking before the wedding, that's a bad omen, I'm told.
Right.
All right, I'm with you.
Eventually, you do have to see her.
That's true. That's a good point.
At some point, there must be... So... I'm exchanging vows to their first dance with each wedding, action shots along the way to walk into their home, and they'll say, check that out. Can you believe that?
How did you get LeBron at your wedding?
LeBron James was at your wedding? Really?
That's great.
And then there'll be somebody that you'll basically want to kick out of your house. Who's the tall guy? All right. Lenape Solar sponsors our hotline at 1-800-795-9565. I talked to Jack Ham today. He says, how is the chateau? I said, chateau to you, Sunbury Motors Studio to the rest of America. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The college football playoff.
I'm sorry. I just wonder, is Ham staying busy in the summer?
Yes, he's staying busy in the summer.
Besides playing golf is what I mean.
He's playing golf. He works in the coal business, right? Does coal brokerage.
Right.
Right. He has a family reunion, which he wanted to know if I would go to. And I said, It's down in, I think it's down in Florida. I said, why do you want me to go? I said, I want somebody to talk to.
and the first question was, is what weekend is this? And if it's in the next 6 days, no. I'll wait till after Debbie visits.
It's in July.
Oh, well, there you go.
You're good. No.
I just want somebody to talk to.
Yeah, I want somebody to talk to. And so, and then he's coming up here to meet with the at some point. He's going to do that. Yeah, because you want to get a feel for what, you know, what their philosophy is, how they go about their business, things like that. You know, he wants to be as well prepared as possible for the season. So he wants to do that. So, you know, he wants, because I think he wants to go out and play golf too when he's up here.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question. I just wondered if he was doing anything else besides golf.
Yeah, he wants to. I think he wants to know. He said, "Now, what's your schedule again?" I said, "Why do you want to schedule when I'm not available?" But yeah, he's doing fine. I talked to Dick yesterday, but we keep in touch constantly. I mean, the off season, the whole thing. This isn't a deal where all of a sudden November 9th rolls around. Hey, Dick, how you been? Hey, you know, September 1st. Hey, Jack, how you been? No.
Stop, because Dave Ritchie's going to start to get jealous shortly. And we live about 20 minutes apart. He's going to get jealous soon.
You don't talk, do you?
I think it's his choice, not mine.
Let's see. Steve Jones Show. This is from Robert, huh? Email time. Okay. Should I read this email on the air?
You're more than welcome.
All right. Dear Stupid. That's not a good start.
Oh, that must be for me then.
Over the weekend, Fox Sports radio host Tom Looney and co-host Ben Mahler?
Ben Mahler, yep.
Okay. I never heard of either one of them. We're ranting about the aftermath of the verdict, asking if any athlete should even consider attending Penn State, and also saying that paternal statue should be taken down and the name should be taken off the paternal library. Would you like to comment on these clueless individuals, considering your comments yesterday about how hosts should know what they are talking about? Bob.
Bingo!
Well, Bob.
That says it all right there.
I don't really think there's much I need to add to your commentary, Bob. It's irresponsible what they said. About all of it. It's irresponsible. And you try to stay away from sensationalistic commentary on the air. That's one of the things that you have to do, is stay away from sensationalistic commentary where they have to do this and this is, you know, words such as extremely awful and things like that. I've heard people use various adjectives to describe things where they try to use as sensational an adjective as possible on the air about this. Penn State's recruiting well because guess what? Bill O'Brien's done a good job of going out there along with the assistant coaches, talking to young men and explaining to them what Penn State can offer to them. This is still the university where if you want a great engineering degree and have it be applied to a great job, you'll get a top-notch engineering degree here. You will get as fine a degree in meteorology as you'll see anywhere. You'll get as fine a degree in liberal arts as you'll see anywhere. You'll get a degree in agriculture, which is as fine as anybody in the country. And in what I happen to do is in the area of sports communications, sports broadcasting. The John Curley Center for Sports Journalism is among the finest in all of America, with the classes in writing, sports information, sports broadcasting, and now the equipment that they put into Rec Hall, which is state-of-the-art equipment that is the same equipment used as ESPN and Fox, so that when a person comes out of Penn State and goes to apply for a job, and they say, have you ever worked on this piece of equipment? They'll say, yes, I've worked on it every single day, because they have made the investment in all of that. That's what they've invested in. That's what this university has to offer. It is a great campus culture, okay? And the bottom line is that we know who we are, and we do know what we're really all about. Bill O'Brien gets that. Patrick Chambers gets that. And when they talk to recruits and their families, they get it as well. And I don't need two removed individuals that I personally wouldn't hire anyway telling me differently.
Okay.
I think that answered the question. Yeah.
Yes. It's fine. I mean, I know we carry their show, but still, that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Well, it doesn't mean you have to like them. And that doesn't mean they have to like you either. It goes both ways.
I mean, and do you really think deep down I care?
No.
I really don't. You know, do I care what this audience thinks? Absolutely. I care every day what this audience thinks. I care what you think. You know, I really care what Roger thinks. No. But Drew and Sean and Sarah and so forth, I mean, you know, the people that are my colleagues, I care what they think. You, the audience, I care what you think. Some guy completely removed and uninformed, not working on here, don't care what he thinks.
Well, you have to understand, with Ben Muller especially, I mean, this is a guy who kind of describes himself as the drudge of sports. So you know what kind of stories you're going to get with Ben Muller.
I'll be honest with you. I never heard of him. Sorry.
I have, but only because I've listened to Fox for a long time, so I'm familiar with him. And he does some stuff for NBC as well.
Bully for him. you know, but to go on and talk like that without being completely informed of what the true culture of this area is, you know, and to not have the ability to put certain things into perspective, I can't respect that.
And I think Tom Looney, I think you're the biggest thing that he's really done over the years is, I think he was on Best Damn Sports Show at one point.
That's not a resume builder. All right.
Just the title of the show, not my description of it.
I know. Oh, I saw it a couple times, and after 5 minutes each time, I said, I can't watch this. But I'm from a different generation, too. So, it may have appealed to a younger generation. It just didn't appeal to me. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up at 3:35. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to the college football playoff. I like the direction they're going in. They're presenting it to the presidents. We'll have more on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the personal home of Kevin Herr, after this. Welcome. President yesterday thanked a crowd of Red Sox fans, saying thanks a lot for Euclid, and they booed him.
Sorry, that's funny.
It is funny.
And they booed him, though.
I booed him.
Of course.
They weren't yelling Euke. Then the president's press secretary says, oh, no, some booed. Others like me were crying, Euke. Right? Jay.
Right.
Jay, you can't go to the podium every day and be a, okay? Just accept it, move on. It was a foul ball. All right? All right? Bad joke, wrong time, wrong place.
Oops.
All right? The boss did a whoops. Don't try to cover. Oh, they were all like, look. Stop playing the political games. About time somebody was honest. Just say he blew it. All right, next. People will respect you more if you actually say the real thing, Jay. All right? I don't want that job for $1 million. No way. I wouldn't want to go out there every day and have to explain stuff. Well. Oh, no. All right. NBA draft's coming up on Tuesday. See, the Rockets now have 3 picks. You're excited.
Ecstatic. It's the NBA. I've never been excited about the NBA. I've tried, and I haven't been since probably the early 90s.
Mm. Oh, I know. And then...
That's just me. I'm not saying the NBA is bad. That's just me.
No, but it's interesting. Take Anthony Davis, for example. Everybody knows he's the first pick. But if New Orleans tells everybody today, say the GM of the Hornets goes on the air today, and he's asked about Davis, he's not allowed to say they're drafting him. He gets fined. They cannot reveal who the pick is until they make the pick.
Geez, if that was the case, the NFL would have been boring in the month of February.
They can't, and the other part, too, is they can't sign him either. You notice how the Colts, a week before the draft, were entered into negotiations with Andrew Luck. They can't do that with Davis. Can't do it. You opened up with the Phillies at the beginning. The Yankees, of course, on a roll. They are three up on Baltimore, Tampa Bay, 4.5 back. Red Sox, Toronto, 6.5 back. Central, White Sox, half game up on Cleveland. Detroit, 2 back. Kansas City, 5 back. Minnesota, 7.5 back. Minnesota's actually closer than Philadelphia is.
Yeah, I know.
They're playing 4-17 baseball. Texas, 4.5 up. Texas, 4.5 up in the Angels. Oakland, 9 back. Seattle, 14.5 back.
Gone.
Dodgers have played four games in the East so far. They don't play again in the East till July 20th. Two games up on the Giants, who are the wild card leader. Five up in Arizona, 14 up in Colorado, and the Padres are 16 back. Cincinnati, two up in the Pirates. Have been down to one, but the Reds won last night, and the Phillies beat the Pirates.
Well, you know, the Pirates did something. This is what I was talking about here when we started the show. The Pirates actually lost one of those games because they didn't get the pitching they had been getting, and they don't score the runs. And this is what happens when you don't have either end of the spectrum.
Right.
You lose 8-3.
You lose 8-3, and they didn't field the ball well. St. Louis, the defending champs, are two back and lurking because now they're getting some people back. They have Carpenter back, and they have Jay back. They had Matt Adams on the show last night, or last week. Matt got sent down to Memphis.
Well, that's not going to bode well for him coming back on the program again.
No, he's out. And
I mean, he's not going to want to come back on the program again.
No. But we knew he was going to get sent down. I mean, it was not something that we did. When we had him on the show, I knew he was being sent down, like a week ahead of time. Milwaukee 7.5 back, Houston 10.5 back, the Cubs 15.5 back.
St. Louis has won four in a row now. Is it four?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've won four in a row. That's the longest streak in the National League, tied with Arizona. And that is the longest streak in baseball currently in either league. Washington playing 577 baseball right now. They have the second best record in the National League, and they're actually only a game. They're only a game away from being with the best record in the National League. All right. Both Texas and the Yankees have better records than anybody in the National League. Washington has a 3.5 game lead in Atlanta. The Mets are 3.5 back. The Phillies are now 8 back, and the Marlins are 8 back.
I'm just happy to say that the Phillies are not last.
Half game.
Listen, at this point of the season, when you're 8 games back, and I'm looking to become a free agent here in a few days, any positive to say is something.
Well, they've been outscored for the year. Everybody in the American League East has outscored their opponent. You realize that?
Really?
Everybody in the American League East has scored more runs than the opponent.
That's
amazing.
That's a stat it's almost hard to believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very hard for most people to believe. There's no other division even close to that right now. I mean, the West in the American League, only the White Sox. The White Sox are the only team in the Central that's outscored every opponent. The other four teams, no. They've all been outscored. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up at 3:35, following the news with Sarah Bartlett, who informed us that she gets to work at 4:30 in the morning. Hey, that was 11 hours ago. I mean, Kevin got here at 2:55.
And 59 seconds.
Maybe. Back after Sarah's news.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Tuesday afternoon. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on the show. I know there are some Steeler questions Kevin wants me to ask. So, Tony, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Always good to chat with you guys. How are you this afternoon?
It's great to be here. The Pirates, we'll start with them. This has been obviously a marvelous story to this point, and now we're about at the same point we were a year ago. Have people bought into this being a little more long-term, or are they still walking cautiously as they look at last year and this year?
You know, it's interesting, Steve. I think that it's maybe a combination of both. I think that when you look back at last year and now you build upon this year's start, there's obviously something to it. It's not just, you know, I think people are looking at it as if it can't be just, you know, a wild stroke of luck. There's something happening here that hasn't been happening for quite a long time. However, you know, every time you lose two in a row, you know, especially about 2 weeks ago when they lost, I think, four in a row, you know, everybody starts to kind of say, oh, here we go again. It's starting to happen again. And that's why, you know, snapping that four-game losing streak the way they did and winning a couple of games in a row there was a pretty important thing, having a guy like A.J. Burnett who can step up and snap a streak like that. And I think the fans are starting to maybe buy into the fact that although there's still a lot of holes to be filled and that this is still a work in progress, the progress is there. So I think people are, at the very least, appreciating that they're seeing progress, legitimate progress, for the first time in a long time.
Andrew McCutchen is a marked man in the lineup, and he does not have very much protection around him. Most of the great hitters that we have seen in the game have usually somebody behind them. And that's been consistent throughout time, whether it was Mandelin Maris or Matthews and Aaron or whatever it happens to be, McCovey and Mays. McCutchen has, how remarkable is this season because he doesn't have any protection around him?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it really is remarkable when you look at the, you know, I'm looking at his numbers over the last seven games. He's hitting .462, nine RBIs, you know, two homers. It really is incredible the kind of season he's having, and he's been remarkably consistent. His numbers are really through the roof. I mean, when you compare him to just about anybody, the guy's clearly an all-star, and, you know, if he keeps playing like this, he probably will deserve some MVP consideration. I'm not saying he's the MVP, but he's in that conversation, at least thus far. And so, yeah, that is absolutely remarkable, and, I mean, you're getting, you know, some consistency from a couple of guys in the lineup. You're starting to see some of the guys are starting to hit now. Every couple of, what, I don't know, every 3 or 4 weeks or so, Pedro Alvarez goes through a 10-game span where he's Babe Ruth, and then he goes back to being Mario Mendoza for the, you know, for the next 3 weeks. So it's tough to figure this lineup out, but you're right. The one
And
it has been even more remarkable when you consider the fact that you just mentioned.
Exactly. And he's done that because, look, he's the one guy in the lineup that you're going to try and pitch around. And he doesn't allow that. When he gets something that's near the zone, he's driving the ball. It's been impressive to watch because, again, you can pitch around him. He doesn't have much help around him.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, the one thing, if you're going to be, you know, nitpicky with McCutchen, the one thing that he's not, you know, he does strike out a lot. And I think, Steve, that might be because of what you just said. He's trying so hard not to let you pitch around him that I think he might be, you know, a little more aggressive than maybe he needs to be. Now, whether that's just something he's going to always, you know, always have, he may be a guy that strikes out a lot. There seems to be a lot more players like that in the majors than there used to be. But again, I do think part of that is because of his aggression and him trying to do something every at bat. Because you're right, it's a flip of the coin whether anybody's going to have anything on a given day. And certainly, there's nobody there with the consistency to, you know, protect him in the lineup.
And that's when I've looked at the Pirates and I've talked about this. Everyone knows I've been pretty up. McCutchen's been a great player. Walker is not a great player, but he's a good player, and a lot of people would love to have Neil Walker. Alvarez, of course, we know, you know what you get with him. But the other spots, Barmas, no. Tejada, Tabata and Presley, they're fourth and fifth outfielders on most contending teams. Barajas, a backup catcher, right? They've really done this with smoke mirrors and a lot of gaffer's tape.
Yeah, they have. There's no question about it. And, I mean, you know, you look at some of these guys, and you know, even with Alvarez, he's doing enough to make you keep sending him out there. You know, you're getting a weekend, you're getting a week long of production from him that at times is off the charts, and at times he struggles to get the ball out of the infield. And then you look at some of the other guys, like you're saying, Abada's still a young guy, so I guess at 23, they're not ready to close the book on him. But then you look at some of these other spots, and even if Barmas, you know, finishes with a solid season, he's 33-year-old shortstop. You know, he's certainly not any kind of a long-term answer as this team tries to make 500, not just a high water mark, but a mark of progress. So those are holes that need to be filled if they want to move beyond a 500 team. And frankly, they're going to need more production if they want to finish 500. The pitching. You know, again, that's what was the situation last year that kept them so good. And so far, the pitching's been outstanding. It continues to be outstanding. Will it stand up? I guess that's the biggest thing. Some reasons you might want to answer yes this year as opposed to last year. But again, standing up over this length of time can be a challenge for any staff.
I think the one thing that would make fans antsy about the pitching staff, which, by the way, is as balanced a pitching staff as there is in the majors. They're balanced between the starters, the bridge guys, and Hanrahan is about as fine a balance where each part has been good. But yeah, I think you'd love to see, instead of five, I think they'd like to see six or seven. McDonald gave him a complete game last week. I mean, you don't have to have complete games, but what is it that the starters are not quite getting to the seventh inning?
You know, I think some of the guys, I think it's different with some of these guys. I mean, Eric Bedard's a guy who they are so careful about his pitch count that I don't know if they're going to let him, throw a whole heck of a lot of pitches even when he is humming. But some of these other guys, I think, some of it is just the idea of learning to be efficient every inning. That's what James McDonald talked about, the difference between this year and last year, and his efficiency, him figuring out that if he doesn't have certain pitches, he's able to survive. But outside of those two guys, it's been a major, major problem getting guys through innings. And, some of it might be the back of that rotation just isn't good enough. The Kevin Correa, who will give you, like you just said, five or six solid innings, but he just doesn't go into the eighth inning very often. And you're right, that's something that's going to wear down that bullpen. It did last year, and there's no reason to think that will change. What makes me a little bit more optimistic about the pitching staff is, the presence of a guy like A.J. Burnett, the continued progression of a guy like James McDonald. And we haven't seen this yet, Steve, but there are some guys at AAA Indianapolis who are putting up good numbers night in, night out as starters. One or two of these guys may have to push from AAA, for a spot at some point this year to kind of keep that staff going strong. Whether it happens or not, I don't know, but the numbers at AAA would indicate that it's at least a possibility.
Well, there's pitching staff. I've done nothing but praise that pitching staff all season. I've praised McCutchen all season as well. And I really think Clint Hurdle's done a marvelous job. The guy knows how to manage. And he doesn't just manage games. He manages a season. I just really like how he goes about his work, Tony.
Yeah, I think he doesn't get enough credit sometimes. I mean, the attitude on this team has in part turned around, and you have to give Clint Hurdle a lot of that credit. And in addition to that, we just talked about how inconsistent and, frankly, how bad the rest of this offense outside of McCutchen can be, yet they're able to win games. They're able to score runs. He is mixing and matching as well as anybody probably in the National League this year. So, he gets a little bit of criticism because he goes with his gut sometimes more than the, sabermetric numbers or whatever. He talks about the human element. Maybe I'm old school. I happen to believe in that, and that's a reason I happen to like Clint Hurdle. I understand that the numbers do mean something, but I don't know, Steve. I like a guy who will look at the numbers, look at his pitcher, and maybe weigh a little bit more heavily.
I think we lost Tony there for a moment. Tony? I believe
I'm here. I am
there
here.
There we go. Well, the part I like about Hurdle is this, is that part of strategy is having the intuition to give it a shot. And yep. I'm not into Well, you know, on first and second with nobody out, Anderson is really great. Oh, for goodness sake. See, you want the hit and run, just do it. All right? I mean, you know, manage the
game.
Steve,
I believe in that. I couldn't agree more, you know, and that's part of the reason I love Hurdle, because he does, you know, he does. And I think that carries some weight within the clubhouse, too. You know, again, that's just speculation on my part, but I think all that stuff does matter. And I think that the people in the uniform, you know, matter as well as the numbers that they produce. And he talks about that a lot, that he's managing players in addition to managing baseball games. And I think the players have recognized that.
Yeah, he's done as fine a job, I think, as anybody out there this season. I think he did very well the first part of last season, too. Now let's get to the Penguins. The Penguins made the Staal trade, which was not a surprise because the Penguins had offered Staal a long-term deal, and he said no. I think, how do you feel about the value in this trade?
You know, it's interesting. Anytime you get rid of a guy like, you know, with as much talent as a Jordan Staal, it's kind of hard to win that trade. You know, they got five great prospects for Jaromir Jagr over a decade ago, and you know, none of those five are still playing, and Jagr's still churning out a point a game. So it's tough to win those trades, but I think you have to just get what you can. And they got a very solid third line center in Brandon Sutter, and they got a couple of young prospects that they seem to like on the blue line, which is where they need some help. So they weren't going to be able to keep those three centers forever. I know people wanted to. I think Jordan Staal would have liked to have stayed, but he himself said that when the offer that they put out there was 10 years, and he thought, man, 10 more years behind those other guys and maybe never getting to play, you know, with one of my brothers, you know, I think factored into his decision to say no. And it's hard to fault the guy. He's got the hardware. He's got the cup already. So a little bit easier for him to move on. And I think Penguins fans, as disappointed as they are, because he was a fan favorite, just understood that at some point one of those guys was going to have to go.
Well, he knows how to play, and that's why he was a fan favorite of Penguin fans, because he plays. He plays both ways. He's very, very good. Now let's get to the Steelers.
And they're not going to be able to replace him.
No.
You know, they'll put another guy in the lineup, but to truly replace him, well, that just doesn't happen.
Let's go to the Steelers. What's the status waiting for David DeCastro?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's all that concerned yet, although now's when you start to, you know, as those calendar days tick away before camp opens in July, you start to wonder if he's going to get in. Again, it didn't seem like anybody has any real major concerns that he's not. You know, I think you start to get concerned when you see a lot of those other number one picks signing and he still hasn't. So as those things start to happen, as some of those slots start to sort of get filled, I think they're pretty confident they can get him in. And I can tell you this, they're certainly depending on him being in a Steeler uniform and learning that offense quickly, because he's going to be a major part of this offense, Todd Haley's new offense.
What about Mike Wallace?
That's a great question. And that's one that I can't read anybody's mind, Steve, but I don't think there's a whole lot of confidence there. I think there's a lot of unknowns. The only good news we've gotten about Mike Wallace, and this was just from one of his teammates, who said he stopped by to pick up a playbook. Well, you know, that's, I guess, a better sign than not stopping by to pick up a playbook, but they just finished minicamp, and one of the constants you heard from just about every offensive player, when Ben Roethlisberger said it, it certainly got a lot more attention. But these offensive guys are just talking about how, you know, they're not frustrated with this new offense, but it takes work. They're working hard every day to understand it, to learn it, and to be on the same page. And Mike Wallace hasn't been a part of any of that. And I think that is an issue. You know, if he misses any part of camp, I think those are big, big strikes. And I think he already has a little bit of a strike against him. Like I said, these other guys are sort of knee-deep in this new offense, and Wallace has yet to, you know, stick his toe in.
Well, I looked at the playbook, Tony. All it says is 17 run long. So I think he should be okay.
That could be the case, Steve. Maybe we're making much ado about nothing, because you're right. That's been Mike Wallace has put up a lot of numbers doing exactly that.
Tony, thanks so much. It is always great having you on the show. Extremely informative, as always.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We got the Mike Wallace question in there you were begging for.
It's about time. Although the answer did not give me any comfort.
No, it's called the truth.
No, and
look, I mean, look, if you guys don't want to pay the cash and be cheap, that's your business. All right.
But here's the problem is typically players that do hold out don't get the cash that they want from the Steelers. So that's also something that he needs to look at as a player, that normally that doesn't always work with the Steelers organization.
And go someplace else. You know, the Bengals would be a good spot for him. What do you think?
That'd be great. Thanks.
Bengals, Ravens, Browns. What do you think?
Bartlett just cheered up.
All of a sudden, you know, her sex symbol quarterback would have somebody to throw to.
Who's not on parole for anything.
Oh, goodness. 1-800-795-9565, Lenape Solar Hotline. And we will come back with more in just a few moments here on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Kevin is complaining to me off the air about the terrible all-time Phillies team.
I didn't say it was terrible.
He disagrees with every phase of it.
No, that's not true.
Well, you should... You wanted me, I recorded it. You wanted me to play it back?
Oh, great. Greg Pinto put this together. He's a columnist for Philly Sports, Philly.com in the sports department. And they were going through the list of players, the top 25 players that would be a Philly if you go for the all-time. And there was a couple in here that surprised me a little bit. Your number one, your catcher is Bob Boone. Not a big surprise there. Let's see, Ryan Howard at first base. There's been a lot of pretty good first basemen in Philadelphia. Ryan Howard, I think because of the home runs and the fact that he was rookie of the year in 05, might have gotten that nod just simply because of the awards. But, you know, you're also looking at Dick Allen. You're also looking at, you know, Pete Rose played first base as well. Second baseman is Chase Utley. Hopefully he comes back.
Look, Ryan Howard has a ring.
That's true. Well, so does Pete Rose.
Right. He has a ring. I know he does. But, I mean, Howard did it with pure power. In a Phillies uniform, I would have picked Ryan Howard. In a Phillies uniform.
Let's see. Chase is at second. Jimmy Rollins at shortstop. Larry Bowa wasn't bad either, but I think Rollins just hits better, and I think that's why he got the nod.
A lot better.
All right. So a lot better. The third baseman, if you picked anybody other than Michael Jack Schmidt, this becomes null and void. But Mike Schmidt was the third baseman.
Well, he's the greatest player in the history of the franchise.
Right. Ed Delahanty is the left fielder. And with the batting average of .348 over 13 years, I can see why. Let's see. Richie Ashburn in center. And it wouldn't be right if Whitey wasn't there. Bobby Abreu in right field did surprise me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you look at his numbers, 195 home runs in Philly, .303 is what he hit. That makes sense. He was a two-time All-Star, Silver Slugger, Gold Glove winner in the Phillies' tenure, so that's not a bad pick. Your pitchers, Carlton.
Surprise, right? I'm shocked.
Pete Alexander.
Yeah.
Robin Roberts.
Yeah.
And Jim Bunning. Now, the number five, there was a little, he opened it up a little bit here. It said Cole Hamels / Curt Schilling. So, you know, there was a little bit of a cheat there because you'd have to put one of those guys in that slot, and then the other would have been slighted. The backup catcher surprised me a lot because your backup filling out the roster is Dutch Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised about that one.
All right, then who do you put there?
Well, I'm... I, You know, I don't know. I really don't. I mean,
you can't argue it unless you have a name to put in there.
Well, all right.
Say,
what about Luzinski being a utility outfielder, a backup outfielder instead of a backup catcher in your 25-man roster?
Well, I would have put Luzinski on there, absolutely.
And not necessarily have to be a backup catcher.
He may have struck out a lot, but still.
Well.
I mean, no, but still, he's a critical cog in what the Phillies have done. Look, the Phillies did, look, outside of 1950, the Phillies from the time they began until 1976 didn't do much.
True.
I mean, to be honest with you, they're one of the saddest franchises until 1975 that you see in baseball. Until 1975. To the modern generation of Philly fans, this has been incredible. From 1976 until now has been the golden era of Philadelphia Phillies baseball. Before 1976, they weren't a factor. That's why the 64 collapse was so monumental, because they were finally going to get there, like they did in 50 with the WizKids.
Let's see. Another utility infielder is Granny
Hammer.
I mean,
the Philadelphia A's, until after World War II, up until World War II, the Philadelphia A's were the far superior franchise in Philadelphia.
I can't debate that with you.
I mean, far superior. They won titles. They did some good things. They had Jimmy Fox, Simmons, and everybody. I mean, they really had some good players. They even had Ty Cobb the last 2 years of his career.
Did he spike anybody? Probably.
In the restaurant. Not enough mustard on my pretzel. Wham.
No tip for you.
Second hour, as intriguing as the first, we promise. Sarah Bartlett sets the tone with 1070 WKOK News at the top of the hour.